Okay, well, while Windows is doing its thing, I'm Jonathan Madagin, and I'll be talking about the Laser Array Space Telescope. The idea is that we would like to build a better telescope. And oh, that's very lovely. Okay.
You can just not use the clicker if that's the
thing. Okay. I think PowerPoint just wants to crash right now. And there we go. Okay. So, the idea and the conventional wisdom today is that a bigger telescope is a better telescope because you have a larger aperture, you can collect more light, get better data. But is bigger better? Conventional telescopes have inflexible designs, massive mirrors, and bloated budgets. In Professor Lubin's lab, our idea is to have exchangeable elements, small subsystems, and conservative costs, because sometimes better is better. So, you're probably familiar with the fact that light is a wave. So here we have two light sources hitting two detectors, and this is known as light that is in phase because the peaks line up and the troughs line up. This is light that's out of phase. You can see they're not lining up. But our idea is to take the detectors and also use them as emitters. Hence the name laser array being the light sources and space telescope being the receivers. Now, light has this funny monkey business where it likes to add. So if two peaks are together, they're going to add and you're going to get twice the height. Whereas if you have light that's out of phase, they're going to destructively interfere and you're not going to get maximum interference. So what does that look like? It's this funny thing over here, where here you have position in X and your this direction is your intensity, so you can see you're getting the most intense point at the center. This is for standard two-slit diffraction that you've probably learned in your intro physics classes. So this here, probably less familiar with, is three-slit diffraction. The idea is now instead of just two slits, you have three, and you'll notice the differences are you have smaller side lobes here, and your main peak, your central peak, is more pronounced and thinner. So the question is, what happens if you have even more slits? Well, these are going to go down even more, and you're going to end up with just one peak in the middle. And so that's what we're interested in doing. Right here is a computer design of one of the elements that we're planning on building. You'll see there's a lens here. The lens will then focus light into a fiber optic cable that'll come out this side. And here's a little hexapod that allows you to position that fiber optic cable at the focus of the lens. Here are 19 of them in an array. So this would basically be like a 19-slit diffraction pattern. This is what's known as a phased array. So there you can see, Professor likes to call them a base optical assembly, or BOA. And here's the BOA mounted on a hexapod. So the idea is this allows you to have coarse mechanical pointing, so you can aim at one part of the sky or another. Now we take those and we put those in an array. So this one is kind of a small one. It's only got 10 BOAs across. It's 76 total, so it'd be about 58 square meters. Our idea is to build one that would be absolutely colossal. This, it kind of borders absurdity when you look at it like this, but this is half the size of the array that we intend to build. This one is 1,000 BOAs across, and it's half. The final one will be a full square kilometer in size, and you can do some pretty amazing science with something like that. So here's the schematic of how it works. The idea is that you receive light in this direction. Here you have the little optical subassemblies that receive the light. Light then gets transmitted down the fiber optic cables and then is phase shifted to maximize the constructive interference. So this is where that plot I showed earlier comes in. You want to get that peak and make it as tall as you can. So that's maximizing constructive interference. And this right here is all the adaptive optic systems that drive the phase shifters in real time to account for thermal expansions and atmospheric aberrations and things like that. And then here's the optical accumulator where it all comes down. So the idea is, once you maximize the interference from all these different light sources that are coming in to your telescope, you can then use the data from the phase shifters to gain insight onto what your system you're looking at. So the optical accumulator itself is not providing the data. It's the phase shifters that are maximizing the interference pattern that you're seeing in the optical accumulator. Phew. Okay, so this is what it looks like in our lab. This is a quarter scale model of one base optical assembly. So it's just about yay big, and we've got little lenses and fiber optic cables coming out. And the idea is that we can both transmit light using lasers and receive light using detectors. So we're going to have a lot of fun with this year, playing around with it and making interference patterns and reading different light sources. So in conclusion, you can, in addition to using this as a telescope, you can receive light, use it as a gigantic phased array to make interference patterns and collect data. You can also use it as a two-way communicator, because you can both transmit and receive. You can use it for laser comm, both to satellites and satellite to satellite. You could also use it as a power beamer. Because you've got lasers and this gigantic array, you could send light to a spacecraft and just put solar panels on the spacecraft. It would receive light from laser. You could power your base on the moon or whatever you want to do. You could also use it to deflect asteroids. This is one of my favorite parts, because if you have a high power laser, you can shoot it at the asteroid. You can heat it up to the point where mass ejection starts to occur. So you've got stuff flying off this way, and physics says if stuff's flying this way, the asteroid goes the other way. So you can push asteroids around, which means you could deflect them from hitting Earth. You could also mine them and capture them, which would be a whole lot of fun. You can also do remote composition analysis. So the idea here is that you shoot your laser at the rock, stuff's flying off, and you can perform spectroscopy using the light on the rock as your light source. So you can actually see the light going through the material that's flying off the rock. So that's really fun. Interstellar spacecraft propulsion, this is something we've started working on fairly recently. And the idea is, you're probably familiar with solar sailing, using photons from the sun. The idea is that even though photons are massless, they still carry momentum. I learned that from you, Dr. B. So the idea is that you've got photons, and they can just kind of push the little craft through space. But instead of the sun, with a high-power laser, you can get much greater fluxes, which means you can get to a quarter the speed of light in about 10 minutes, which means you could get to Mars in a week, or the nearest star in a human lifetime, which is pretty cool. And then finally, you can mitigate space debris. You just blast it out of the sky, and you could clean out orbits to allow for more satellites and commercial and more scientific work by freeing up the space junk. And because of the phased array design, you could do this all simultaneously, because you can phase shift each of the different elements to get the constructive interference to happen at different points in the sky. So you can have it pointing in multiple places, because you no longer have to mechanically move your entire telescope somewhere. You can now just electronically change where the phases are going to constructively or destructively interfere. And that is why better is better. So, thank you.
So I think you said you're using 19.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide on that number?
That's just what the current plan is. Our professor is thinking about moving up to 100, so that would mean 100 million total elements, so 100 per each one and a million of them total. I think the idea is that it all depends on what class of laser we can end up getting, and so we're talking with DARPA and the DoD to figure out like how big a laser we can fit in how small a space. But yeah.
So what is the cost differential?
Excellent question. We're currently working with multiple funding agencies, including NASA. There's also there's this Russian billionaire who decided that this was a cool idea. He read Phil's paper on it, and he decided to fund a foundation called the Breakthrough Foundation that is setting aside $100 million towards this idea. Mark Zuckerberg and Stephen Hawking are on board, just to name drop some people. but it's really exciting. But you're absolutely right. Funding is going to be extremely prohibitive in this case.
But you started the talk by saying that this is going to be a lot cheaper than building a big telescope, right?
So. Well, because you could never dream of building a classical telescope with a square kilometer aperture. That's why.
So what's the time scale on which you have to adjust each mirror to keep them all in phase?
Another good question. These things are done. And I know that people talk about phase shifts. I mean, phased arrays have been done with radar for decades, so I know that it's sub-microsecond, but I know that it's within what current electronics are capable of.
And just for what it's worth, the largest aperture or optical telescope is an array of 36 mirrors.
Really? Oh, cool.
Yes.
Nice.
Sure. How broadband is your telescope?
So for now, the one we have in our lab is stuck at infrared, so you can only do that. But theoretically, you could have a white, what's the word for it? I think it's called white light interferometry. So it is possible to do broadband interferometry, and this would be possible in the full spectrum.
So, any more questions?
Thank you all.
All right, yeah, thanks for your day.